You don't need to be reminded where you live or work or what your kids' names are, but you do need constant reminders of something more important than your house or job, even your relationship with your children. We'll consider that next on today's Grace to You. Maybe you can relate to a man who stopped at the gas station, paid for his gas, and then immediately drove away, forgetting to pump the gas he just paid for. We all have moments like that. You forget where you put your glasses, only to discover they're resting there on your forehead. Or in a moment of daydreaming, you drive right past the exit that takes you home. Remembering your glasses or where you're driving is important. That kind of reminder might save you some valuable time or money, but much more important, crucial to your spiritual life, are the reminders that John MacArthur looks at today on Grace to You. He continues a series called Remembering What Not to Forget. Now, to show you what Scripture says you can't forget as you follow Christ, here's John with today's lesson.
Turn with me for a moment to the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. Look at verse 1, first of all. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give unto your fathers. Now watch this. And thou shalt, what? Remember. Moses is there to tell the people to remember. It isn't any new truth. It's to prod them about the old truth. Remember all the way which the Lord your God led you. Look at verse 11, beware that thou, what? Forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold are multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord. Prosperity is its own curse, you know. Makes it so easy for us to forget. In Psalm 119, there's a wonderful verse somewhere. You ought to write it in your Bible. It's 119:16. Just the last sentence. Listen to it. Don't need to look it up. Just listen. Psalm 119:16. I will not forget thy word. I will not forget thy word. In Proverbs 3, the Father says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And I think there's a special word in Ecclesiastes 12:1 about this. Listen to what it says. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You know, when the mind is young and fresh, the input comes in, and if it's godly and the repetition of the years builds upon that, there's a security for the old age in godliness. But if you forget God when you're young, the brain gets dominated and crowded with all the things of the world. It's so hard to relearn spiritual truth. Oh, it's so hard. Start when you're young. And then he goes on to describe old age and all of its problems and all of its weaknesses and all of its infirmities. And apparently Solomon didn't really apply this when he was young. And so in his old age, all he could say was vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Be sure you do it while you're young. So Peter sees himself as I see myself. Look back with me at 2 Peter chapter 1. One who is sent by God to remind you. To remind you. I take the exhortation from folks around this country to keep doing the same thing, keep preaching the same messages, tell your people to keep being the same people, your elders to keep doing the things they're doing, as a word from the Lord instructing us in the ministry of remembrance. And so we're committed not to anything new, but to something very old, but to keep repeating it. Peter says, I'm sent to remind you. Now, of what does Peter choose to remind us? There are seven things in this chapter. But look at verse 12, 2 Peter 1:12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. What things, Peter? What are these things? Wherefore takes us back. They are the things of which he has just spoken. All of the things from verse 1 through 11. Wherefore, I want you to remember these things. And even the things that follow in verses 16 to 21. What are we to remember, Peter? What do you want to put us in memory of? First of all, let's just look at number one. The reality of our salvation. The reality of our salvation, verses 1 and 2. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness in God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, that's salvation conversation, folks, in those two verses. You notice terms like faith, righteousness, Savior, grace, peace, knowledge of God. All of those are salvation conversation terms. Peter's referring to our redemption. And he calls upon us, among other things, to remember the reality of our salvation. It's so easy to forget that. You say, oh, I'd never forget that I was saved. Well, I'm not talking about the technical idea of remembering you're saved. I'm talking about remembering all that such a salvation should mean to you. Christians can become so picky, so minuscule, so sometimes critical, and they can just find all the little things they don't like about things, and they forget the magnanimity of their redemption. And they get all bent out of shape on little things. And so Peter says, I want to remind you that you have obtained like precious faith. Now, what does he mean by that? Let's take the terms, the word obtained. Really, the concept of that verb is to receive by allotment. It's not so much that you took it as that it was given to you. In fact, it even is used to refer to choosing by lot, and lots were cast. That was a way in which God revealed his will. So it's the idea of a divine allotment. He says, I'm writing to you who have obtained faith as a divine allotment. Now, that's a tremendous concept. You know, you have a basic human faith. I mean, you have the faith it takes to turn your ignition on and know that there's eight little things firing in there, but they're not going to blow you into eternity. You have the faith to get on an airplane and fly, though you can't see behind the door. You don't even know if there's a pilot up there. You have the faith to ride in a car and not believe you're going to go off the end of a freeway deal that doesn't go anywhere. You have the faith to eat in a restaurant and you've never been in the kitchen. You have the faith to do a lot of things in life. You just live by faith. You have faith to put your money in a bank. That's human natural faith, but that isn't going to redeem anybody. The faith that saves is a gift from God by divine allotment. The faith of which he speaks in verse 1 is not the faith, definite article, the content of the Christian faith. It is not Christian theology. It is redeeming faith, saving faith. And we have received saving faith by divine allotment from God. I hope you haven't forgotten that God didn't have to give that to you, and that in his marvelous, mysterious sovereignty, he did it. I look here and I say, God, how can I ever find words to say thank you for the allotment of saving faith given to these people? You see, it says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through what? Faith. But what? That not of yourselves. What's not of yourselves? The whole thing, including the faith. God had to give you the faith, the saving faith. And it came, according to Romans 10, faith comes by hearing a speech about Jesus Christ. Faith is a gift of God that is given in responding to the gospel of Christ. I hope you haven't forgotten that. Peter says, remember, you have received by divine allotment faith to be redeemed, to believe. That's not a human act. Now notice also verse 1, it's called like precious faith. That's a great word, isotomous. You know what it means? It means of equal value, of equal honor. Well, that's good. There are no first-class, second-class Christians. There are no people, well, some people want to say that you become a Christian and later if you get your act together, you get promoted to being a disciple. So there are two levels. I don't see that. Equal value. Watch this. We have obtained a saving faith of equal value. In other words, there's no inequality in the body of Christ. There's neither male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Greek. All are one. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We have received an equally valuable saving faith. But the word isotomous is also used in a political sense, frequently in Greek writing, and it means equal rank or equal standing or equal office. Get that? In Christ, we all stand equal too, don't we? The righteousness of God is imputed to us. We stand before God like everybody else stands before God. What a great thought! No matter who you are, no matter how intelligent or how unintelligent, no matter how physically gifted or physically seemingly non-gifted, no matter how educated or ignorant, doesn't matter what it is, rich or poor, all of us have received a saving faith that is equal in its value and gives us standing equal before God. Great truth. And that's what makes the body of Christ so wonderful. I mean, just look around. Here we all are from every imaginable part of life. And none of us has anything over anybody else. We're all going to spend forever in heaven. We're all going to know the glories of being like Jesus Christ because our salvation knows no grades. Great truth. No distinction. No upper level disciples. No secret 144,000 are going to get all the gravy in glory. We have equal value in our faith and equal standing. Why? How so? Again, verse 1. Through the righteousness in God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The word righteousness, a consummate word, a word that's so full of meaning it's hard to even begin to get it out. And so much of its interpretation is dependent upon the context. Paul uses it in a more forensic way to speak of total righteousness, the nature of God. Peter uses it to speak specifically of God's fairness and God's justice. And that's exactly what it means here. Mark this. The reason we've all received a faith of equal value and the reason we've all received a standing of equal honor is because we have a God who is fair and does not make distinctions. With God, says the Bible, there is no respect of what? Persons. Isn't that great? People say, well, I wish I was a Christian like the Apostle Paul. Got news for you. You are a me. That's right. Look back at verse 1. You have obtained a like precious faith with us. Who is the us? Peter and the apostles. You are just as honored in your saving faith, just as exalted in your standing, just as much a recipient of the justice of God as an apostle. You have a like precious faith. What an incredible thought. And you see, we're all sinners anyway, so God doesn't distinguish between us a whole lot. He gives us equally His mercy and His grace. Every time I see a believer moping around, oh, you know, I just don't know if I've got the resources. I just want to remind him, you got everything the Apostle Paul had. Enjoy it. God gives us equally and values us equally. You are as much value to God as anybody who ever entered His kingdom. Is that great? I'm just going to remind you of that. Don't ever forget your salvation. Then verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now listen, salvation, this equal honored faith, this equal standing before God, given to us by divine allotment, because God is such a fair and just God and treats all sinners the same. The fact that this has happened is to multiply unto us grace upon grace and peace upon peace. But that only happens through the knowledge of God. In other words, if verse 1 is God's verse, verse 2 is our side. God does His part and we respond with knowledge. We have to really know Christ. The word knowledge here is not gnosis, the simple word for knowledge. It's epignosis. It means a deep, full, rich, genuine knowledge. Now listen to me. The reality of your salvation is this. You have received from God by divine allotment a precious faith equal to all other saving faith that gives you a perfect standing in Christ equal to all others in Christ. And that is designed to multiply unto you grace upon grace and peace upon peace, but is only valid when you have a deep, true knowledge of Christ. You know what that does? That eliminates the superficial, doesn't it? That gets rid of the Jesus bandwagon, the cheap grace, the easy believism. There's a lot of superficiality. But He is saying, when the deep knowledge is there, then the real faith is there. And that's just our part of it. Wish we had time to go through this bit by bit, but let me just show you. What is the deep epignosis, the full, rich knowledge of God? Well, just take the terms used. Isn't it marvelous that in verse 1 it says, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and in verse 2 it says, Jesus, our Lord. Some people want to say, well, you can take Him as Savior, but not as Lord. You see, in one verse He is the Savior, in the other verse He is the Lord, and that is the composite of who He is. Take the terms. He's called God, Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord. What then is a true deep knowledge? It is a knowledge of Christ that perceives Him as God, Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord, in the fullness of all that that embodies, you see? You are redeemed when you perceive Christ to be who He indeed is, not when you add Him as if He were some spiritual trinket to your life. Peter was writing to people who claimed to know Christ, claimed to have a knowledge of Christ, but were continuing in immoral behavior. And he is, in effect, probably using the word knowledge like a catchphrase because they used it. And he is putting authentic Christian content into it and saying, you better have a genuine knowledge. There is much to be thankful for, beloved, so much. First of all, I'm thankful for the reality of my salvation. Are you? That it was given to me by a divine allotment of God? That it was given to me on an equal basis with the apostles or anybody else? That it was given to me and made me equal in standing before God so that all that is His is mine? And that it is multiplying to me grace upon grace and peace upon peace because it is a true and deep and rich knowledge of Christ as God, Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord. So much to remember. Don't forget. Don't get petty. Think on the great reality of your salvation.
It's John MacArthur here on Grace to You, reminding you of all the spiritual blessings you enjoy as you follow Christ. The study today is from 2 Peter. It's titled, Remembering What Not to Forget. John, you talked about eliminating superficiality, being Christians who study Scripture in depth. Talk a little bit about what that might look like practically. How can that man or woman listening right now go about eliminating superficiality for his or her study of God's Word?
Well, you know, it comes down to what the Apostle Paul said. The old Authorized Version put it this way, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Newer translations put it this way, be diligent to show yourself approved of God, a workman needing not to be ashamed. In any case, if you don't want to be ashamed as a believer, then you need to be a diligent student of Scripture. And I think it's going to take a whole lot more than showing up on a Sunday and maybe hearing a sermon, although that's important, that's critical, that's going to be a powerful influence in your life if the preaching is biblical and sound in its doctrine. But I think every believer needs to think about how I can go beyond that. I mean, that's a once a week or twice a week experience. How can I dig deeply into Scripture? Let me make a suggestion. For the last, 32, 33 years, I've been writing commentaries on the New Testament. And in fact, by next year at this time, that entire series of 34 volumes, I think, will be finished. New Testament commentaries, 34 volumes on all the New Testament. I would love for you to begin to get exposed to what a commentary can do in your life. It comments on every line, every verse, every phrase, gives you the overview of the intent of a paragraph and the detailed explanation of it. And here's a great suggestion. Why don't you start by getting a copy of the New Testament commentary on 2 Peter and Jude? That's one volume, 2 Peter and Jude. And you will have me sitting next to you. You can open your Bible, open the commentary, and I'll be your teacher. It covers the entire book of 2 Peter plus the entire book of Jude in one volume. And when you purchase the commentary on 2 Peter and Jude, you get the detailed analysis of what we're talking about in our series, Remember What Not to Forget. A wonderful tool. I hope you'll get used to using commentaries. They are a powerful influence in helping you dig deeper. You can order them from Grace to You. Start with the one on 2 Peter and Jude.
Again, there are 30 volumes total in the MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series, an ideal resource for any serious student of Scripture, whether you're a pastor or just a brand new believer. To order any of the volumes, starting with 2 Peter and Jude's commentary, get in touch with us today.
Reach us by email at this address, info@gty.org.uk. And to speak directly to our staff, call weekdays from 9:30 to 5 GMT. Our free phone number in the UK is 0800 389 3958. Or call from anywhere in Europe. That number is 0044 1233 662 262. Friend, our desire is simple, to help you understand Scripture, apply it to your life, and effectively minister wherever God gives you influence. Grace to You does that through more than 3,000 book, audio, and video resources by John MacArthur, including the Drawing Near Daily Devotional and the MacArthur Study Bible. Besides English, the Study Bible comes in French, German, Spanish, Russian, Italian, Portuguese, and Arabic. Check gty.org.uk and see all we have available. Again, gty.org.uk. And to let us know how God is using Grace to You in your life, or to support our radio program and help keep it on this station, write to P.O. Box 153, Ashford, Kent, TN 24 8WE. Thanks for your prayerful gift. Now for John MacArthur and the staff, be back for another half hour of unleashing God's truth, one verse at a time, on Grace to You. More compelling Bible teaching on our next broadcast. Join John MacArthur again at this time and invite a friend to listen along here on Grace to You.